Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining. This is Harriet Kamek with Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about subjects and matters that are down to earth, right? Right. I can almost hear the echo of my children around my house. Every time I say something, they're like, down to earth. So it's become a refrain around these parts because we're getting folks to get into the mindset of seeing that there are matters that affect all of us that are just simply down to earth. And if you see me fiddling with stuff on my desk, that's just me. I'm one of those persons who I can't work in this organization. Is that you? Right? You go into the kitchen to start preparing a meal and you're hungry and you need to make something to eat, but I can't function if stuff isn't in the right place. So I've moved stuff around, washed the dishes, organized, then I can start cooking. Well, it's the same thing. You know, I come to work, I'm ready to work. And when I come to work, my desk, which I left like a mess yesterday and they didn't clean up because I have to do it. I don't want anybody touching my stuff. And I have to clean it up because, you know, when they touch it, you're like, don't touch my jeans, right? So we had the most interesting weekend. It feels like fall weather. And for those of you who are streaming me on a viewing platform where you can view me, you will notice that I'm wearing a scarf. That's because, much to my chagrin, last week when the weather turned a little chilly, I rebelled, would not wear, you know, footsies in the early morning hours, especially when it was cool, and I didn't wear something over my shoulders, and I didn't put on a scarf around my throat, knowing jolly well, and knowing very, very well that I'm likely to have some itchy throat thing. And guess what? It hit me full-blown over the weekend, like it just came at me like a doozy. So if you see me this morning, I'm actually wearing a hoodie because I guess I have to give it up that summer is over. And is anyone laughing? No. No, we're not. And not only is summer over, it kind of just went out with a doozy. Did you all see the weather on last night over in Montana? They have 13 inches of snow in September. That's not a good sign. Those are not good indicators of what is going to happen here in the Midwest, for crying out loud. We're here on a slope sliding into snow, right? Oh. 13 inches of snow, blizzard condition in September. I don't know what to say about that. So this morning, I put on my gym shoes and my footsies. I have on a hoodie because I have to give up that I can't wear tank tops anymore. I have to put on a hoodie and I had to put on a scarf. So when I went downstairs this morning, my kids were like, whoa, mom, you welcome fall. I'm like, no, just no. And gym shoes, like I have to start. I refuse to at this point. I refuse at this point to put on boots. I'm not touching that stuff. Yesterday, I had to go look for them, though. Like I went in the coat closet to look for them, and I'm like, really? Do I have to wear this stuff? I'm like, no, we're not going there. So not. But it's interesting, though, because guess what? Whether I like it or not, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to have to wear it, right? So I might as well get with the program. So today, I found an interesting blurb. You know, you prepare for your show and so on, and I thought I was going somewhere. I wasn't going to get by. But this morning, just popped up on my news feed that there was, because I don't watch the local news, it's all blood and gore and shootings and stuff. I have enough of that to deal with. I don't want to be re-traumatized. So this morning, I want to welcome Freddie's Ho Ho. Hi, Freddie. How are you? Welcome. Nice to see you. So I may not type a response back, but I do answer you back. I can read your tweets. I don't type them back because my fingers are occupied. Right? Okay. So I'm not at the stage where I type and talk at the same time. Not quite there. Okay, so when you find someone who types and talks at the same time, let me know how they do it. They probably do it better than I do, but I don't. So welcome, but I'll answer you. If you type your question, I will answer vocally. I may not type it back, but I will answer you, right? So this morning on my news feed, of all things Freddie, guess what popped up? That there was a billboard here in Michigan on I-75 North right, at a specific location. This billboard appeared on I-75 North. At the billboard featured porn for half an hour. So this wasn't even like a fleeting thing, like you're speeding down the freeway and you're like, whoa, maybe I missed something. No, for half an hour, there was porn on this billboard in Michigan. Now, it took place after 10:30 p.m., but still, it was an electronic billboard. So you know one of those flashing ones, the electronic billboards that we all think are kind of new and so on? We'll kind of like them because, you know, it gets the message across and it gets your attention quickly and stuff. But there was porn on the billboard and everyone freaked out. I mean, the police got some phone calls and the police apparently didn't believe it themselves, so they showed up. And then they called the management company of the billboard to ask what was going on, and that's when they shut it down. So at this point, they're thinking maybe it was hacked, like the billboard company was hacked, and that particular billboard, someone hacked into it and showed porn. We don't know what it is about the porn. They haven't investigated because the management company has not issued a statement or said, you know, that this is what happened. But it just made me, it brought my attention to something that I never want to talk about, which is porn. I never want to talk about porn because it's always going to be a very harsh subject. It's always, it's never going to be any winners and losers here. Everybody's going to lose, right? And so I don't want to talk about porn, but it's kind of forced me to because I have to address it. Because porn contributes to sex crimes, and porn contributes to sex trafficking, and porn contributes to crimes, sex crimes against minors. I mean, in recent times, in the last 30 years, we've had more access to porn. When I was growing up, it was blue movie stuff. I don't think there are many people who, most people remember that, right? It was blue movie stuff, or it was Penthouse, and what's the other one? Playboy. And they were so shrouded in mystery that they only came to our parents, and they came into something else, and you couldn't see if you couldn't have access to it, right? Nowadays, we're so flooded with porn, and this is why I said I didn't want to. But we're so flooded with porn that we don't even know how. For me, watching an underwear commercial is soft porn. Watching a pantyhose commercial, how you put it on, is soft porn, right? Watching a commercial that simulates how people cuddle and so on and how fast, that's soft porn. So we're so flooded with porn and the imagery surrounding it today that it is very hard to walk away from it. And see, this is why I don't want to talk about it, because people are immediately going to say, well, you're a prude, you're this and that. But put it into perspective. Step out of yourself for a minute, because maybe you enjoy it. Maybe it stimulates somebody. Maybe watching these images stimulates you. And maybe you don't think that it is offensive or that it hurts anyone. But to some of us, it does. When you see children, when you go into a children's store today to buy clothes for young children, their clothes are not like the clothes we grew up with. I know I'm not old, so it's not like I'm ancient or something like that. It's just that it's not appropriate to be placed on young bodies because today images of children are depicted as being sexualized and there are nefarious individuals who choose to have sex with children. And so when you look at children's clothing today, you realize the extent to which the marginalization has gone, that children are now sexual beings instead of children. Do you see what I'm saying? If you were a parent of a small child, you want your child to kind of remain a child for a while. You don't want your child to be depicted as sexual beings. So your friends around you are looking at your young child as someone they would have sex with. Nobody wants to think like that, right? But yet we're kind of forced into that conundrum because everything that young folks wear and young children wear today is kind of like body fitting, body contouring, that shows their body parts and kind of depicts them as sexual beings at an early age. This, in fact, translates into sex crimes against children. Now, if you were to do a Google search you will find that sex crimes against children is on the increase. And a major contributing factor is the availability of porn. Now, in today's world, we have porn available to us like yesterday. Like, I mean, it's like, do you want it or don't you want it? Practically every other image is porn. I mean, young children today, when we were growing up, it was a novelty. Today, they're like watching it, come get it, come get it. It's on YouTube. It's on every kind of app that you can think of. It's simulated across social media. In fact, even some of the things they do today, like twerking, when we were growing up, that was just a dance, but it wasn't widespread like this. Even some of the things they do today is so sexualized that you don't even realize the extent to which you're being desensitized until you, because you don't, so it gets so pervasive, you don't see anything wrong with it. Like some of you are like, Harriet, what's your issue with it? Because you have been desensitized, so you don't see anything wrong with it until you step away from it and look at it from another angle. Well, that's what I am doing. I'm like you. I'm so desensitized that I didn't see anything wrong with it until I stepped away from it and realized that there is something wrong with it. There is an increase in crime, sex crimes against minors. There is an increase in sex trafficking. Why? Because porn is so readily available. Now, I don't know if it was somebody's proof or was someone trying to prove a point, or were they, you know, kind of like revenge porn. They were showing porn with somebody they broke up with, so they put it out there. And more than likely, somebody probably pulled over and captured an image so that they can show that. And from what I have listened to the news report, it was very explicit. It was so explicit that it described body parts, partially clothed body parts. It described sex acts. So it wasn't like they simulated porn, like they only showed the top of someone's cleavage or, you know, their butt in clothing. No, they showed body parts and they showed sex acts. So that's full-on porn. So they're not talking about soft porn like I'm talking about, showing underwear commercials that are seductive and suggestive and sexy, right? So it makes me want to ask a question. It's time to kill porn. Is it time? Should we end porn? And some of you are like, but Harry, we would kill out a whole industry. Well, that's exactly the point. That's the exact point, because we have fueled a people's desire, have fueled a whole industry where people are now making porn of having sex with children. In fact, I was at a conference recently, and it came to light that a lot of men from America and Europe go to places like Cambodia and Thailand explicitly, so they call it sex tourism, where a lot of people go to these places. I'll talk about that in depth another day, right? Where people go to these places and have sex with children. And there is silence in the Twitterverse. Where are you all, Twitter followers? Twitter, not a word. Hi, thanks for joining me. You're all shaking your heads like you can't believe this stuff happened. Yeah, because see, to you, you're probably thinking, well, porn is just something you and your partner watch, right? And you do that in the privacy of your home, you know, on a Friday night or whatever, the kids are out of the home. Or the kids are next door, the kids are downstairs and you're upstairs, and you watch it to stimulate, you know, to get each other going and stimulate each other. And you're like, well, what's wrong with that? Well, if that were the only context and ways in which it is depicted and shown, then bully to any of us, right? But when it is displayed publicly, as it was on this billboard, there's a problem with that. And when it contributes to sex crimes against minors, then we have a big problem. Years ago, the serial killer Charles Manson was asked by Paul Robertson, and when they asked him what he thinks, in his opinion, had happened to him, you know what he said? He said the worst thing that has hit society is pornography. And he told a story of how when he was growing up, his mother used to hide him in the closet while she had sex with men in front of him, and how she had pornographic materials around the house. And it so hurt him that the first woman that he killed was blonde. They say she looks like his mother. The second one looks like his mother. So he was actually seeking revenge on women who looked like his mother, because he said that his mother interrupted his life. So he started having sex early, and then having normal sex wasn't enough. He became violent. He wanted to control and beat people up and rape people and kill them. Do you see what I mean? So when I say that porn contributes to sex crimes against minors, we're not saying that because I'm being a prude, or I don't want people to have fun, or I don't want you guys to go out there and get your groove on and stuff like that. No, it's because it is a fact. Now, it may not be you. More than likely, it's not you. But it could be some other individual out there who perhaps is having, you know, having the time of his life just watching young children play. You know those creepy people who pull up at playgrounds and they watch children, right? And we all know the creepy pedophile van, because we've watched enough Criminal Minds. That's not the ones you need to worry about. The ones you need to worry about are the ones who look just as normal as you and I. They live right next door, and they look just as normal. Those are the ones who are really watching porn and watching children, child porn, and having an intent to have sex. So you better watch out with your kids. I kid you not. It's not enough today for us to just leave our children and just drop them off with a coach or with a teacher and drop them off at someone's house, even with family members. That's where it usually happens. Don't just drop your kids off. Make sure you are observant. Ask your kids probing questions. If your child displays, sometimes children don't disclose because they're uncomfortable, because the abuse that the person doing it sometimes will tell them, you can't tell your mommy and daddy, I'm going to kill them or I'm going to hurt them. And the child will believe it, right? The child is not emotionally mature yet to make the separation, right? So they will say that. So you have to watch your child's body language when you're going to drop them off and so on. Do they look like they're happy, or do they look like they really don't want to go over to grandma? They don't want to go over around Uncle George. They don't want to go to Coach Smith or Coach Todd. Look into those things. Because what has happened is that porn has fueled this desire and this urge. Now, I'm not saying porn is the initiator of the desire. I'm saying that it has fueled this desire. It has driven people to go search more, to act out their desires. So you see something on a screen and you want to experience it in lifetime. So you want to go and figure out, how can you do this in lifetime? And I say all of this because it is remarkable to me how the porn industry is very pervasive. They're powerful. The porn industry owns most media. So you'll never find mainstream media coming against porn. Can't, because the porn industry owns mainstream media. If you are watching any local news anywhere in the country, and if you're watching your weather girl or you're watching your traffic lady, you've noticed one thing about them. Anywhere you go in the country, their dresses are shorter, and there seems to be, the camera seems to place more emphasis on their body parts, isn't it? There is a reason for that. You know what's the reasoning for that? It pushes people into the spotlight because they want people to now focus. They're drawing eyeballs to the screen, and they want people to focus on sexualization. A lot of anchors have left the field because of that. Now, some are desperate for a career move. They want to earn the big bucks, so they will do anything to stay there. But there are others who are like, I can't do that. I just simply can't. One girl in another market, she just got pregnant, and that they had to move her off the screen. That's how she escaped that, because they kept pushing her to wear tightly fitted clothing around her body that she was uncomfortable with, because the porn industry owns mainstream media, and so they dictate who goes on and who doesn't. So you're never going to find mainstream media saying that porn is bad. They're never going to discuss that. They're never going to tear it down. They're never going to say that something is wrong with it. No, they're not. They're not going to say there's something wrong with porn. they will report on it as it is a matter of public interest, but they're not going to say, like I am saying, that it's time to do something about porn. It's time to regulate it. It has gone unregulated for so long. I thought it was regulated. I thought they had said, well, you can only show it through these means, that means. Maybe not. Not in today's world of the internet. With the electronic and digital age, what has happened is that there are more ways to feature porn than there were before. So the print media is practically dead. So nobody is picking up a copy of Hustler and Penthouse. And what's the other one? There was Hustler, I just remember that, Hustler, Penthouse, and Playboy. Nobody's picking up those anymore. You don't have to when it is right here. For all I know, there are probably apps you can download that have porn in them. And I'm not asking you to answer. I can't see you. So you probably are grinning behind there because you know it's true, right? And I'm not talking about dating apps either, where you can pick up the boy or girl that you want to, you know, have sex with. I'm talking just about straight porn. So in this scenario, it was on a billboard. It was after 10:30 p.m., so arguably you could say children were not out at that time. And it was on a weekend night, so perhaps children were not out. Not many children would have been out except those coming back from a trip with their parents or whatever. It was after 10:30. So you can't say that. But still, to think, I don't know that I want to watch porn on a billboard. I don't think that I want to do that. I'm pretty sure that I don't, right? So why would it still be there? Are you overlooking, you know, what most of the public would want to see? But more importantly, I think the question is, why is porn still available, right? What good has, let's examine this. What good has porn done that has contributed to the culture of the society? Right, Freddie, answer that question. Freddie is still watching. Thanks. On YouTube. Thanks, Freddie. Why? Tell me, Freddie. Why is porn still available? What good has porn contributed? What has porn contributed to the society except the spread of STDs? Let me think. Well, those are negatives. So what could be a positive coming out of porn? Has any porn star crossed over into the mainstream, apart from Kim Kardashian, I guess. You could say Kim Kardashian crossover. Because she did start out as a porn star, right? She did start out as a porn star. She made a sex tape. It is what it is. I don't think you should be ashamed of where you come from. It is, just own it and say, that's how I got started. That's what set me apart from everybody else. That's how I made it. Just own it. But I am saying, though, that doesn't mean that it is necessarily the right thing to do. And I wanted, that's the focus, that's the crux of it. Sometimes we want to do things, but it's not the right thing to do. If it is not for the good of all, and if it's not contributing to the good of the society, then why are we still doing it? Why is porn so much more readily available? A few years ago, some people I know ran an experiment. And it was on a Monday night in the fall. It was like Monday Night Football. And they ran an experiment where they created a fake website. So they created a website with images. They had some friends who were models. So they airbrushed the images and put them up to simulate that these girls were available for sex. They weren't performing sex acts, but they made it. They wrote the language and the diatribe surrounding the ad was suggestive and indicative that these women were available for sex. And that for, if you call this number, you could secure a date. Well, between 9 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. that Monday night, they got over 300 phone calls within the local area here in Metro Detroit. Over 300 phone calls from people wanting to have sex with what they saw. They knew what keywords to put into search engines. That's important. They knew exactly what keywords. So they designed the website around people searching for porn. That's the thing. People were searching, so they knew what keywords to use that would create that this website would pop up. Now, of course, when they called them, they told them, well, you've reached, you know, such and such a help center, and porn is wrong. And why are you pursuing porn? Because it's wrong and it contributes to sex crimes against women and blah, blah, blah. But the people who were making the phone calls were actively, they were told off. They were like people, as a matter of fact, they received death threats after that. Those boys, they disappeared. They won't even return my phone call anymore because they received death threats. Seriously. People are like, you're messing with me. Are you crazy? Right? Because it's active. And here in the city of Detroit, for instance, if you were to drive down 8 Mile, let's say 8 Mile from Telegraph to before you hit Kelly Road, because after Kelly Road, it becomes Harper Woods, which is a different city. So in the city of Detroit itself, between Telegraph, 8 Mile Road, a major thoroughfare, from Telegraph to Kelly Road, is littered with strip clubs, with pornography. And there are all kinds of women in suggestive dress and, you know, in poses that most of their body is exposed. I kid you not. That's soft porn and it needs to stop. Right? Strip clubs like crazy on either side, on that side of the road, because on the other side of 8 Mile, there are different cities where the city ordinance prevents strip clubs from operating. So they're all in the city of Detroit. I imagine that in other urban spaces that this happens as well, because people in suburban spaces are going to rebel, but people in urban spaces have too much to worry about. They have to worry about violence. They have to worry about not having jobs. So they don't have time to worry about the aesthetic appeal of somebody having a strip club. It probably provides employment to the people who live in and around the strip joint. Think about it. Do you see what I'm saying? So they take advantage, as usual, sex trafficking is about exploiting people, right? So they take advantage of people's vulnerabilities. Now, whether they're economically vulnerable, socially vulnerable, but they do exploit people's vulnerabilities. And I'm saying that because this is a serious issue. This is not something that you just walk on by and just turn your head away and think it's going to go away and it's just one other person creating, you know, talking about it. It actually is something that we need to think about. Pornography is dangerous. You heard it from Charles Manson himself, you know, the serial killer, who said that pornography contributed to his dysfunction, right? And his psychosis as it involves raping and assaulting women. And if he can say that, the studies on it, though, that, you know, have shown that, but you're really not going to find much because there is information out there, because I have found it. There is information out there, but you're not going to find much because, again, the mainstream media is in the business of suppressing that because the mainstream media is owned by pornographic enterprises. And there is a reason for that. It's all about the Benjamins. It's all about money. It's no wonder that there are so many sex crimes against minors. I'm so glad my children have grown. I am so glad because I could not imagine having a young child at this age for all that I do in talk. Thank you so much for joining us. Be back shortly. I could not imagine. I simply could not imagine having a young child now for all that I talk about ending violence against women and girls and ending human and sex trafficking. Good Lord, one could not imagine what the kind of blowback that could have happened if I had young children, right? But we have to think about it collectively as a group and as a society. This is a societal problem. So while somebody might be saying, well, Harriet, it makes me feel good. That's how I feel good about myself. You probably need to examine how else can you feel good about yourself. I don't engage in porn, and I still feel good about myself. And there are millions of other people who don't engage in porn who still feel good about themselves. So you probably need to examine, why do you allow someone to control how you feel about yourself? And so your stimulus is porn, watching other people have sex. So you're paying for that. I mean, on some of these websites, I've heard that you pay to watch someone having sex. I'm like, don't you do that for free every night? You can set up your own, you know, you have phones that have cameras on it. Obtain your partner's consent and boom, you're in your own porn video. Hello. So why, watching other people having sex is kind of voyeurism and it's a form of dysfunction in the first place. So if you want to tear down what porn is, that's what it comes down to, because you're watching someone else have sex. That's voyeurism. Yes, it is. Never thought about it like that, did you? Right. Now you see it. So if it's voyeurism, it's dysfunctional. Why am I participating in a dysfunctional type of activity? Is a question that you're asking yourself. Think about it. And why am I going to a strip club? Is going to a strip club to watch a girl who looks like the girl I was just watching on video. Isn't that continuing the dysfunction? And if I approach the girl in real time, she's alive, I can touch her, and she refuses my advances, or a girl who looks similar to her, and she says no to my advances, and I'm like, why would you say no? Because on the video, you are making it seem like you were willing to do it with me. And you force her into culminating into you having sex with her under forcible circumstances because you think you're perpetuating what the video is suggesting. That is the problem. That exactly right there defines the problem. So you're watching all these images of children playing. Why are you so drawn to little girls playing? Why are you so drawn to looking at their little private parts and wanting to see their skirts be lifted up? So you start searching because you're curious. You say, I'm just curious. There's nothing wrong. I'm just curious. I have little children myself. Nothing wrong. And then before you know it, you start actively searching for little girls, images of little girls. Then before you know it, you land on a site. They know you're looking, so they have you set up. So they drag you in. They lure you in. By the suggestion of it. And now they lure you in, and here you are, watching little girls. Then before you know it, you start imagining that it's you touching and kissing the small child. And on it goes. And before you know it, you have a full-blown condition called pedophilia. A lot of what we have discovered about people who end up as pedophiles is that they too had been touched inappropriately when they were children. Did you know that? Do you see how endemic porn is? See, once you start it and you start getting into it, you begin to realize it's like an onion. You're peeling back the layers. Recently, some folks I know went to a strip club to talk to the women there. But we realize that we're targeting the wrong group of people. The women are there because they were trafficked or they have no autonomy over their choices to be there. But what about the men who are buying sex from people they know are trafficked? Because make no mistake about it, when you go into the strip club, you're really going to find anyone over 28. They'll tell you they are, but they really aren't. You're going to find people who are very young, who are dressed up to look older, but they're young. But it's something that is understood between the participant and the player and the organizer. The organizer is the one who has the power, kind of like the power behind the throne, right? And so you go into a strip club. Who do you think that is who's dancing up there? You think that's a 28-year-old? Or she says, she's 21. You really believe that? No, she isn't. She's probably 12, 13, 14. Seriously. Some people I know were looking for their daughter recently, and they found a strip place where people, where the girls were 12 to 14. Do you know what the average age of a sex trafficked child is? 12 to 14. So for those of you who think that there's nothing wrong with this, and I am being weird, when you go into a strip club, you are probably seeing a 12 to 14-year-old child, similar to the one you have at home, or your niece, whom you swear you would kill someone if they ever touch her, or your daughter, or your cousin's child, or your girlfriend's daughter. You're seeing a 12 to 15-year-old pretending to be a 24-year-old dancing. But you sort of know that. But you don't want to be caught up in something illegal. But you know that that's what it is. And she's been schooled to think that don't worry about the age. Just tell them you are 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Right? Right. Now that you think about it, it's something to think about, isn't it? It's something to think about because now you have to think about porn and its ramifications. So now you see why the rest of us say what gives. So I was telling you the story about some folks I know who went into a strip joint and they started talking to the men who were buying sex. And turns out that most of those men, for the first time, admitted that they had been sexually interfered with as children. And we're like, thank you. Now we can get you some help. Because now you know why you are perpetuating the same behavior that had been done to you. It's a cycle. This is why those of us who have been delivered from sexual molestation, some of you need to pay particular close attention. Some people don't realize how often, and this is why whenever I find someone who has abused children, one of the first questions I ask is, what happened to you? Because that's going to tell me exactly why. And we used to say, well, he put on blinkers, so he's not seeing that this is a child or this could be a child. No, it's deeper than that. Say it's deeper. It's deeper than that. It's way deeper than that. And so what happens is people are sitting and trying to figure out what has happened. I mean, many people walk into a strip club and they say, I don't know what gets over me, man. And I just go in there and I'm like, lights out, and I'm just in there. And you're like, I don't know what has come over me. Something is propelling you to it. It's very destructive. Lots of marriages have ended in strip clubs. Because people go in there and whatever happens to them, they think it's real. And they come out, they spend all their money in a strip joint. And they come out and they don't want to, you know, they can't go back and live a normal life. And the girls are happy because the girls and the operator of the club are the ones making the money. I know of one person who is practically is living his life right now. Because he has not a clue what to do. He thought the girl was real and that she really was she really was into him. And I'm like, no, you were just another player who was paying her bills. Because she's been socialized that way. Right? So then, when you look at porn and the examination of it, you begin to realize that it's like an onion. It has layers. It has multiple layers. And those multiple layers are contributing to why it is the way it is. And now that you know, you somehow have to ask yourself, do I want to continue to participate? Is this something that I want to do? And you're going to find that you might, if you're true to yourself, you're going to be like, I never even had any clue that this is what was going on at the back of my mind. I thought I was just a guy like everybody else. I thought I was just, you know, that's, and most of you are going to say, but Harriet, that's what men do. Men watch porn. Why? Why is it that for you to have sex, you have to watch porn? Ask that question. Answer it. Why? Why is it that the person you're going to have sex with is not enough? Why do you need external gratification and external stimulation to have sex with someone. You've got to think about that. Because if you don't control that, what is it going to drive you to do? What kind of sex will you find yourself having later? You have to examine it, because when we look at the society today, as social scientists and as social change, when we look at the and as change agents, when we look at the society today, there are a couple of things that have become remarkably clear. We've had a breakdown in family values. There is such a rise of sex crimes against children. It has to be coming from somewhere. It's an epidemic to find people who have been married rapidly divorced. It's one thing to say, oh my God, they don't make it beyond 2 years. That is as rabid as you can get. But when you find people who have been married for a long time, who suddenly find themselves divorced, you have to start talking to people and start saying, why? It used to be that you passed the 10-year mark, you were in the safe zone. The longer you stayed married, you were in the safe zone. It wasn't going to happen. Now, it is as pervasive as anything else. Why is that? Why? And the question is really very simple. You know what the answer is? The answer is simple. You know what the answer is? Pornography. As long as these images, and they're specifically targeted. So men, our devices are smartphones for a reason. They're smart because the makers of these devices and the makers of websites have input data so that as soon as you pick up the phone, your phone is registered. They know that you're a man. Let's say you're a man over a certain age who is most likely to look for porn, because men are going to look for porn. Men want the stimulation. So they put it out there for you to look, so you continue looking. And before you know it, you're going to extenuate, right? So you're going to search for what matches what you're looking for. So you're going to find yourself in a strip club. Then you're going to find yourself, you're like, that's a little too dangerous. I can't be seen in one because I'm a public figure. Can't be seen in one. So then you go to an app. There's got to be another way to do this. You go to an app where you can download an app and find somebody whom you can go act out what you see on the porn video with. A lot of it, too, I think, has taken over men. It's because men don't want to make the effort to make love. You know, they kind of just want someone else to do it. So it's very tempting, I guess. I don't know, from a man's point of view, I don't know how men react to stuff, right? And so one guy told me, you can't separate a man from porn. And I'm like, no kidding. What's the state of your relationship? How many relationships have you had? How many marriages have you had? And therein lies the answer. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's become now that women, there's no safe space, right? So we don't know, you don't know who you're with, and you don't know when they're going to leave you. So women now have taken a whole different approach in looking at marriage. Women after a certain age who probably never used to have sex with their husband, oh, they're getting it on now, because now you don't know. You don't know when he's going to come in and say, I don't want you anymore. And a lot of it is driven by these pornographic images. Let's just be clear. You know, you've lived together, you've been married, you've spend some time together, you eat, you've had children, your body's not going to look like the 20-year-old model that you were. A matter of fact, looking at men is the same thing too. You don't look like the 20-year-old model that you were. So why this focus on the perfection of women's bodies? That is what we refer to as the over-sexualization and objectification. And I'm talking to a group of men right now who you're feeling this because I'm hoping that with some empathy, you're able to look at it from our point of view. And in looking at it from stepping outside of yourself and looking at it from our point of view, you're able to see that, wow, I never looked at it this way before. Maybe I need to adjust my behavior. You want to know what it's like to be a woman? It's like you get up every morning and you have to figure out, well, what am I going to wear today? Where am I going to go? And how will people look at me? So, you know, you dress accordingly. Do I have to cover up my cleavage? Do I have to wear something that covers my posterior, right? What do I do? because it's never ending. The pornographic images are such that you walk into a space where you're the only woman and you become conscious that they're staring at you and that they're seeing you without your clothes on. It's very discomforting and it's very uncomfortable, right? And a lot of it has to do with the prevalence of pornography and pornographic images as displayed across the internet. You go on any website looking for stuff to buy, and it is there. We've become so desensitized, you're just scrolling and scrolling. But if you are a man and you are looking, then somehow, that's why it's called a smartphone, they know exactly what images to shove into your face to get you, give you that primal response. Let's just be clear, men are men all day of the week. And men are always going to respond to sexual stimulation, no matter what form it comes in, right? And so they know exactly how to get that knee-jerk sexual reaction out of you. These websites are designed by men who know what men are looking for, what men need, what men are searching for. So they pull it out of you, whether you want to or not. This is why sometimes people say, well, why don't you just not look, period? Then you won't find it. And you have to, as a man, you have to examine yourself and say, well, how has that image influenced me? How has it changed my behavior? How has it influenced me? Because that's really my concern, right? Are the ways in which it influences behavior. And from what I am seeing, there has been a rise in sex crimes against minors and a rise in sex crimes against women. 1 in 4 women is going to report that she's been sexually assaulted in her lifetime. That's very high. They've now dropped it to 1 in 3. That's how dangerous it is. Most rape, 97% of rapes go unreported because people are afraid to come forward. But the ones that are reported, that's what you read about. Because more often than not, she does not report it. She deals with it privately. And the reason for that, what is driving that, is pornography. So whoever these folks are who started this pornography thing on a major highway, where they hacked into an electronic billboard system. That probably was advertising cars or houses or, you know, Burger King or some sort of food, something. But they hacked into it, and for half an hour they shut that website down, they shut that thing down and showed sex acts. That is something to think about. What if you were coming from grandma's house and your kids were in the car, speeding down the freeway? And that's exactly our problem. It's available on their tablets. It's available on their phones. That's exactly the problem. And you'll find that anti-porn activists don't get much of anywhere because porn is controlled by the media. You know, I watched a movie a couple of nights ago on Lifetime. It's called The Nixium Cult. Well, the Nixium Cult was an organization that charged a fee for men, a membership fee to men who want to have sex outside of their marriage, right? And so they would take people on what they call a retreat. So a guy, I guess, would tell his wife he's going on a retreat when he was just going to a place where he could have sex with the woman whom he had pre-chosen for however long he intended, a day or two or whatever. That's what that website was. It was a cult. Once a girl was seduced into it, they had these open enrollment things where they sold the idea of like a pyramid scheme. That's how they did it, boo. That's how they did it, right? And they sold the idea of a pyramid scheme, and women were seduced and lured into it, thinking they, and then they were actually enrolled, right? Into thinking that they were next to the leader. So the leader tried them out first, then he put them up for sale. So wealthy men who could afford the membership fees, they never said what the membership fee was. This was in the news, by the way. This was a real thing. It was one of the scandals that implicated Bill Clinton. And so they were schooled into this, and they were taken into this for a membership fee. So I'm not saying that these men were taken advantage of, clearly. They walked into this with their eyes wide open. They paid for it. They wanted what they wanted to have, right? And so it became such a thing because the girls had no autonomy. They had no control. They're young, which is exactly why they want them, because they're malleable. You can govern them. When they start asking questions, then it's time to get rid of them, because now they're dangerous to the organization, because they're going to talk. Which men did they see? And whom did they partner with? And whom did their friends partner with? And they charged a hefty fee because it was a private club, not the Epstein club. That was different. It was a different one. Epstein ran his thing in a different way. So they got the NXIVM folks. The guy's now doing time for sex trafficking and racketeering and money laundering. They got him. So they shut him down, which I think one kind of led into the other, why they reopened the Epstein investigation, because somebody might have said something. Because it's the same player. It's the same men. There are only a handful of very wealthy men who can afford to pay the fees that are required. I'm saying all of that to say that these are the reasons why I think that pornography needs to end, because it has proven to be dangerous to women. It has proven to be dangerous in terms of the sex crimes and sexual assault that have been committed against women and against children. And that's why we have to end it. So the next time that you are tempted to go into a strip club, understand that walking into that strip joint, you have become an active participant in something that involves sex crimes against children. Because invariably the people in strip clubs are not over 25, they're not over 28. They look like it. They might even say that they are, but there are children also. Young women, 12, 13, 14, those are young children who are in there as well. You might find that, you know, the off chance you might find someone older, but typically you're going to find someone. That's where children are, right? So this crazy idea with the billboard, well, the end of it is that the police came and shut it down. I don't know that that's the end of that. The management company of the billboard hasn't spoken out. But the fact that it happened was enough of a shock to our sensibilities, right? I hope it never happens again. I hope so. Enough to think about, right? It's Monday. It's Monday. And that's a lot to think about. That's a lot to think about. So go to my website, theexodusfoundation.com. Find out why we're so passionate about ending sex trafficking. My name is Harriet Kemmes. You can find my books on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com at www.amazon.com. You can also find out more information about me at HarrietKemmes.com. My books are Through the Fire, Musings of the Spirit, and Vision. Support us by buying one of our books. I thank you so much for listening. It's been a pleasure and an honor on this Monday morning. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to having your company again here on Down to Earth. Thanks so much, everybody. Be blessed.